Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. With Kenneth Branagh as Hamlet, Derek Jacobi as Claudius, Judy Dench as Gertrude, Richard Briers as Polonius, Michael Williams as Horatio, Sophie Thompson as Ophelia, James Wilby as Laertes, Michael Elphick as the First Gravedigger, Michael Horden as the Player King, Emma Thompson as the Player Queen, and John Gielgud as the Ghost. Hamlet, Prince of Denmark.
Who's there?
Nay, answer me. Stand and unfold yourself.
Long live the king.
Bernardo?
He...
most carefully upon your hour.
'Tis now struck 12. Get thee to bed, Francisco.
For this relief, much thanks. 'Tis bitter cold, and I'm sick at heart.
Have you had quiet guard?
Not a mouse stirring.
Well, good night. If you do meet Horatio and Marcellus, the rivals of my watch, bid them make haste.
I think I hear them. Stand! Who's there?
Friends to this ground, and liegemen to the Dane.
Give you good night.
Oh, farewell, honest soldier. Who hath relieved you?
Bernardo has my place. Give you good night.
Hola? Bernardo?
Sir, what? Is Horatio there?
Oh, a piece of him.
Welcome, Horatio. Welcome, good Marcellus.
What? Has this thing appeared again tonight?
I have seen nothing.
Horatio says 'tis but our fantasy. And will not let belief take hold of him touching this dreaded sight, twice seen of us. Therefore I have entreated him along with us to watch the minutes of this night, that if again this apparition come, he may approve our eyes and speak to it.
Oh, tush, tush. It will not appear.
Sit down a while, and let us once again assail your ears that are so fortified against our story what we two knights have seen.
Well, sit we down. Let us hear Bernardo speak of this.
Last night of all, when yon same star that's westward from the pole had made his course to illume that part of heaven where now it burns, Marcellus and myself, the bell then beating one...
Peace.
Break thee off. Look where it comes again. In the same figure like the king that's dead.
Thou art a scholar. Speak to it, Horatio.
Looks it not like the king? Mark it, Horatio.
Most like. It harrows me with fear and wonder.
It would be spoke to.
Question it, Horatio.
What art thou that you usurp'st this time of night? Together with that fair and warlike form in which the majesty of buried Denmark did sometimes march. By heaven, I charge thee, speak!
It is offended. See, it stalks away.
Stay! Speak! Speak! I charge thee, speak!
Is gone and will not answer.
How now, Horatio? You tremble and look pale. Is not this something more than fantasy? What think you on?
Before my God, I might not disbelieve without the sensible and true avouch of mine own eyes.
Is it not like the king?
As thou art to thyself. Such was the very armor he had on when he, the ambitious Norway, combated. So frowned he once, when in an angry parley he smote the sledded Polax on the ice. Oh, 'tis strange.
Thus twice before, and just at this dead hour, with martial stalk hath he gone by our watch.
In what particular thought to work, I know not. But in the gross and scope of my opinion, this bodes some strange eruption to our state.
Good now. Sit down and tell me, he that knows, why this same strict and most observant watch so nightly toils the subject of the land? And why such daily cast of brazen cannon and foreign mart for implements of war? Why such impressive shipwrights whose sole task does not divide the Sunday from the week? What might be toward that this sweaty haste doth make the night joint labor with the day? Who is that can inform me?
That can I. At least the whisper goes so. Our last king, whose image even but now appeared to us, was, as you know, by Fortinbras of Norway, thereto pricked on by a most emulate pride, dared to the combat, in which our valiant Hamlet, for so this side of our known world esteemed him, did slay this Fortinbras, who, by a sealed compact, well ratified by law and heraldry, did forfeit with his life all those his lands which he stood seized on to the conqueror, against the which a moiety competent was gaged by our king, which had returned to the inheritance of Fortinbras had he been vanquisher, as by the same covenant and carriage of the article designed, his fell to Hamlet. Now, sir, young Fortinbras, of unimproved metal, hot and full, hath in the skirts of Norway here and there sharked up a list of lawless resolutes for food and diet to some enterprise that hath a stomach it, which is no other, and it doth well appear unto our state, but to recover of us by strong hand and terms compulsatory those foresaid lands so by his father lost. And this, I take it, is the main motive of our preparations, the source of this our watch, and the chief head of this post-haste and rummage in the land.
I think it be no other but e'en so. Well may it sort that this portentous figure comes armed through our watch, so like the king that was and is the question of these wars.
A mote it is to trouble the mind's eye. In the most high and palmy state of Rome, a little ere the mightiest Julius fell, the graves stood tenantless, and the sheeted dead did squeak and gibber in the Roman streets, that stars with trains of fire and dews of blood, disasters in the sun. And the moist star, upon whose influence Neptune's empire stands, was sick almost to doomsday with eclipse. And even the like precurse of feared events, as harbingers preceding still the fates, and prologue to the omen coming on, have heaven and earth together demonstrated unto our climatures and countrymen. But soft! Behold! Lo, when it comes again! I'll crush it, though it blast me! Stay, illusion! If thou hast any sound or use of voice, speak to me! If there be any good thing to be done, that may to thee do ease and grace to me, speak to me. If thou art privy to thy country's fate, which happily foreknowing may avoid, oh, speak. Or if thou hast abhorred in thy life exalted treasure in the womb of earth, for which they say you spirits oft walk in death, speak of it! Stay! And speak! Stop it, Marcel!
Shall I strike at it with my partisan?
No, if it will not stand!
Tis here!
Tis here!
Tis gone. Do it wrong, being so majestical, to offer it the show of violence. For it is as the air invulnerable, and our vain glows malicious mockery.
It was about to speak when the cock crew,
and then it started like a guilty thing upon a fearful summons. I have heard the cock that is the trumpet to the morn doth with his lofty and shrill sounding throat awake the god of day, and at his warning, whether in sea or fire, in earth or air, the extravagant and erring spirit hies to his confine. and of the truth herein. This present object made probation.
It faded on the crowing of the cock. Some say that ever gainst that season comes wherein our Saviour's birth is celebrated, the bird of dawning singeth all night long. And then, they say, no spirit dare stir abroad. The nights are wholesome. Then no planets strike. No fairy takes, nor witch hath power to charm. So hallowed and so gracious is the time.
So have I heard, and do in part believe it. But look, the morn in russet mantle clad walks o'er the dew of yon high eastern hill. Break we our watch up, and by my advice, let us impart what we have seen tonight unto young Hamlet. For upon my life, this spirit, dumb to us, will speak to him. Do you consent we shall acquaint him with it, as needful in our loves, fitting our duty?
Let's do it, I pray. And I this morning know where we shall find him most conveniently.
Yet of Hamlet, our dear brother's death, the memory be green, and that it us be fitted to bear our hearts in grief, and our whole kingdom to be contracted in one brow of woe. Yet, so far hath discretion fought with nature, that we with wisest sorrow think on him, together with remembrance of ourselves. Therefore, our sometime sister, now our queen. The imperial jointress of this warlike state, have we, as twere, with a defeated joy, with one auspicious and one drooping eye, with mirth in funeral and with dirge in marriage, in equal scale weighing delight and dole, taken to wife. Nor have we here imbibed your better wisdoms, which have freely gone with this affair along, for all our thanks. Now follows that you know, young Fortinbras, holding a weak supposal of our worth, or thinking by our late dear brother's death, our state to be disjoint and out of frame, colleagued with the dream of his advantage. He hath not failed to pester us with message, importing the surrender of those lands lost by his father, with all bonds of law, to our most valiant brother. So much for him. Now, for ourself, and for this time of meeting. Thus much the business is. We have here writ to Norway, uncle of young Fortinbras, who, impotent and bedrid, scarcely hears of this his nephew's purpose, to suppress his further gate herein, in that the levies, the lists, and full proportions are all made out of his subject. And we here dispatch you, good Cornelius, and you, Voldemand, for bearers of this greeting to old Norway, giving to you no further personal power to business with the king, more than the scope of these dilated articles allow. Farewell, and let your haste commend your duty.
In that and all things we shall show our duty.
We doubt it nothing. Heartily, farewell.
Farewell.
And now, Laertes, what's the news with you? You told us of some suit. What is, Laertes? Oh, you cannot speak of reason to the Dane and lose your voice. What wouldst thou beg, Laertes, that should not be my offer, not thy asking? The head is not more native to the heart, the hand more instrumental to the mouth, than is the throne of Denmark to thy father. What wouldst thou have, Laertes?
Dread, my lord, your leave and favour to return to France. From whence, though willingly, I came to Denmark to show my duty in your coronation. Yet now I must confess that duty done, my thoughts and wishes bend again towards France, and bow them to your gracious leave and pardon.
Have you your father's leave? What says Polonius?
He hath, my lord, wrung from me my slow leave by laboursome petition. And at last, upon his will, I sealed my hard consent. I do beseech you, give him leave to go.
Take thy fair hour, Laertes. Time be thine. And thy best grace is, spend it at thy will. But now, my cousin Hamlet. And my son.
A little more than kin, and less than kind.
How is it that the clouds still hang on you?
Not so, my lord. I am too much i' the sun.
Good Hamlet, cast thy knighted colour off, and let thine eye look like a friend on Denmark. Do not forever with thy veiled lids seek for thy noble father in the dust. Thou knowest 'tis common. All that lives must die, passing through nature to eternity.
Aye, madam, it is common.
If it be, why seems it so particular with thee?
Seems, madam? Nay, it is. I know not seems. 'Tis not alone my inky cloak, good mother, nor customary suits of solemn black, nor windy suspiration of forced breath, no, nor the fruitful river in the eye, nor the dejected haviour of the visage, together with all forms, moods, shows of grief that can denote me truly. These indeed seem, for they are actions that a man might play. But I have that within which passeth show. These but the trappings and the suits of woe.
'Tis sweet and commendable in your nature, Hamlet, to give these mourning duties to your father. But you must know your father lost a father. That father lost his. And the survivor bound in filial obligation for some term to do obsequious sorrow, but to persevere in obstinate condolement, is a course of impious stubbornness. 'Tis unmanly grief. It shows a will most incorrect to heaven, a heart unfortified, a mind impatient, an understanding simple and unschooled, for what we know must be, and is as common as any the most vulgar thing to sense. Why should we, in our peevish opposition, take it to heart? Fie, 'tis a fault to heaven, a fault against the dead, a fault to nature, to reason most absurd, whose common theme is death of fathers, and who still hath cried, from the first corpse till he that died today, this must be so. We pray you throw to earth this unprevailing woe, and think of us as of a father. For let the world take note, you are the most immediate to our throne. And with no less nobility of love than that which dearest father bears his son, do I impart towards you. For your intent in going back to school in Wittenberg, it is most retrograde to our desire, and we beseech you, bend you, to remain here in the cheer and comfort of our eye, our chiefest courtier, cousin, and our son.
Let not thy mother lose her prayers, Hamlet. I pray thee, stay with us. Go not to Wittenberg.
I shall in all my best obey you, madam.
Why, it is a loving and a fair reply. Be as ourself in Denmark.
Madam, come. This gentle and unforced accord of Hamlet's, it's smiling to my heart.
In grace whereof, no jocund health, the Denmark thinks today, but the great cannon to the clouds shall tell. And the king's rouse, the heavens shall brew it again, re-speaking earthly thunder. Come away!
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt, thaw, and
resolve itself into a dew, or that the everlasting had not fixed his cannon against self-slaughter. Oh, God, God, how weary, stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world. Violent, ah, fie! 'Tis an unweeded garden that grows to seed. Things rank and gross in nature possess it merely. That it should come to this. But 2 months dead, nay, not so much, not two. So excellent a king that was to this Hyperion to a satyr. So loving to my mother that he might not beteem the winds of heaven visit her face too roughly. Heaven and earth must I remember. Where she would hang on him as if increase of appetite had grown by what it fed on. And yet within a month, let me not think on't. Frailty, thy name is woman, a little month, or ere those shoes were old with which she followed my poor father's body like Niobe, all tears. Why, she, even she, oh God, a beast that wants discourse of reason would have mourned longer. Married with my uncle. My father's brother, but no more like my father than I to Hercules, within a month. Yet the salt of most unrighteous tears had left the flushing in her galled eyes. She married. Oh, most wicked speed, to post with such dexterity to incestuous sheets. It is not, nor it cannot come to good. But break my heart, for I must hold my tongue.
Hail to your lordship.
I am glad to see you well.
Horatio. Or I do forget myself.
The same, my lord. And your poor servant ever.
Sir, my good friend, I'll change that name with you. And what make you from Wittenberg, Horatio? Marcellus.
My good lord.
I'm very glad to see you. Bernardo.
My lord.
Faith make you from Wittenberg?
A truant disposition, good my lord.
I would not have your enemy say so, nor shall you do my ear that violence to make a truster of your own report against yourself. I know you are no truant. But what is your affair in Elsinore? We'll teach you to drink deep ere you depart.
My lord, I came to see your father's funeral.
I prithee do not mock me, fellow student. I think it was to see my mother's wedding.
Indeed, my lord. It followed hard upon.
Thrift, thrift, Horatio. The funeral baked meats did coldly furnish forth the marriage tables. Would I had met my dearest foe in heaven or ever I had seen that day, Horatio. My father.
Hmm?
Methinks I see my father.
Oh, where, my lord?
In my mind's eye, Horatio.
I saw him once. He was a goodly king.
He was a man. Take him for all in all. I shall not look upon his like again.
My lord, I think I saw him yesternight.
Hmm? Saw? Who?
My lord, the king, your father.
The king, my father?
Season your admiration for a while, with an attent ear, till I may deliver, upon the witness of these gentlemen, this marvel to you.
Oh, for God's love, let me hear!
2 nights together had these gentlemen, Marcellus and Bernardo, on their watch, in the dead waste and middle of the night, been thus encountered. A figure, like your father, armed at all points exactly, cap a pay, appears before them, and with solemn march goes slow and stately by them. Thrice he walked, by their oppressed and fear-surprised eyes, within his truncheon's length, whilst they, distilled almost to jelly with the act of fear, stand dumb and speak not to him. This to me in dreadful secrecy in part they did, and I with them the third night kept the watch, where, as they had delivered, both in time, form of the thing, each word made true and good, the apparition comes. I knew your father. These hands are not more like.
But where was this?
My lord, upon the platform where we watched.
Did you not speak to it?
My lord, I did, but answer made it none. Yet once methought, it lifted up its head, and did address itself to motion, like as it would speak. But even then the morning cock crew loud, and at the sound it shrunk in haste away, and vanished from our sight.
'Tis very strange.
as I do live, my honored lord. 'Tis true. And we did think it writ down in our duty to let you know that.
Indeed, indeed, sirs, but this troubles me. I'll hold you the watch tonight.
We do, well. My lord.
Armed, say you?
Armed, my lord.
From top to toe?
My lord.
From head to foot.
Well, then saw you not his face?
Oh, yes, my lord. He wore his beaver up.
What looked he, frowningly?
A countenance more in sorrow than in anger.
Pale or red?
Nay, very pale.
And fixed his eyes upon you?
Most constantly.
I would I had been there.
It would have much amazed you.
Very like. Very like. Stayed it long?
Why, one with moderate haste might tell 100.
Longer?
No. Not when I saw it.
His beard was grizzled, no?
It was, as I have seen it in his life. A sable silvered.
I will watch tonight. Perchance 'twill walk again.
I warrant you it will.
If it assume my noble father's person, I'll speak to it, though hell itself should gape and bid me hold my peace. I pray you all, if you have hitherto concealed this sight, let it be tenable in your silence still, and whatsomever else shall hap tonight, give it an understanding, but no tongue. I will requite your loves. So fare you well. Upon the platform, 'twixt 11 and 12, I'll visit you.
Our duty, your honor.
Your love, as mine to you. Farewell. My father's spirit in arms? All is not well. I doubt some foul play. Would the night were come, till then sit still, my soul. Foul deeds will rise, though all the earth o'erwhelm them to men's eyes.